Would you like to move on now to when I believe you went abroad for a few years?
I did. I tell you the first experience about going abroad. One of the people I met when I moved to the North Side was a man called Kevin Gardner. Kevin and I became very close, and we were always talking about slipping away out of Ireland. You see, I was only 14 at this time. You see, Kevin was 15 and a half. And we, to tell you the truth, we ran away. We got a train from Cork up to Dublin, two kids, and we got on a boat from Dublin to Liverpool. I remember it because when we got off, we ended up in a place called Lime Street Station in Liverpool. And we must have been noticeable. We must have stuck out because the next day the guards picked us up. My poor mother at the time, God, and they sent us back to Ireland, you know. Needless to say, I wasn't too popular with the mother when I got back, you know. So I got the real taste for travelling then. And then when I was 17, I said to my mother, I'd like to spend some time with another distant relation who lived in London for about 20 odd years at the time. So I said I was going for a visit, but in actual fact, I was 17 years of age. I got the Enniskillen at the time. We used to get it to Wales and get the train. And I went to London, but I didn't stay. I met two Corkmen at the time, Thomas Mulcahy and Sean O'Rourke from the North Side. And they put me wide, so to speak, about getting flats. So I didn't go and visit the cousin at all because I knew there'd be sort of restrictions on me. And I wanted to be a free spirit at the time. But I spent the first 5 or 6, 5 weeks in a place called Shepherd's Bush. And one of the lads said to me, like, you know, what we have to do, because we had no place at the time, is go into the bus station in Shepherd's Bush. And they were wide, they'd been there for a while. They'd always pick the last bus in the station to sleep in, because it would be last out in the morning to be the furthest bus away, as you know.
Right.
And many a night we were woken up at 3 or 4 in the morning told get out, and we used to be sleeping in benches until we got...
And how many would there have been other children or other young people?
There was 5 of us. Mm. I always remember this was 3 from Cork and 2 from the north of Ireland. And we stuck together because we were all Irish, we were all very young at the time. And I actually was working. I didn't, what happened is the boys said, to get a job now, like, this is where the Irish people hang out in certain pubs there in London. And I met this man, and they told me he was the ganger man. So the ganger man at the time meant nothing to me. I soon picked up on all the slang words, so to speak. And I met this man called George Foley, who was a Corkman. And George Foley, the first thing he says to me is, I'll give you a start, but you'll have to change 2 things. First, he says, you'll have to change your age. You'll have to tell people you're 19. I was only 17, for God's sake. Okay, I said, what's the second thing? He said, the second thing is you have to change your name. Because everything was into the hand and this, that and the other. I learned an awful lot, like, about how to get on as a young Irish person in London from people who'd been there for 20 and 30 years. Mm-hmm. And I appreciated that. Now, it was during this time on a building site in London, I met a truck driver who used to deliver stuff to the site. At the time, to me, was a very peculiar accent. And as time went by anyway, he told me his story. He was an Australian. And no, I'd read about Australia, but I knew nothing about it.
Can I just interject a moment? Could you tell what year are you talking about now, Sean?
I'm talking about the 70s here now.
Right.
You know, I'm talking about early 70s we're talking here now. And so, of course, like, I met this fella. So he told me that he was from a place called Perth in Western Australia. The more he told me about it, the more interested. I had to go there then at the stage of the game. Now, to test myself, Noel, I wanted to see if I'd have the guard to be able to stay in another country without sort of panicking, so to speak, because I was very young, you see. So I was to take these little trips across to the continent, which, of course, was only a skip away. Australia is 12,000 miles away. And I met, on the side at the time, was a fellow called Tommy. Christopher Tommy was a man who had a family. He had one son, actually, and he was a carpenter. Very, very nice bloke. He used to be saying to me, he really didn't want me to go there. He said, you're too young to be thinking about these things, you know, and have you told your family in Ireland? And that's your fact, I hadn't told absolutely no one. And the reason he comes into the work here is because I needed an adult to sign my forms for my passport.
Like a sponsor.
Sponsor. Mm-hmm. Which he did and organised for me. And I went in, getting back to the Australian bloke, he told me all about Perth, but hearing things and experiencing things are two different matters, as you can imagine, And you're looking at things through the eyes of a teenager, which really is not the best way to look at things, but...
There's not much life experience in
that
stage.
No, it's not.
Anyway.
You see, age is experience, which soon came along after that. And I'd spent quite a while in London, and I met a lot of Irish people, a lot of Cork people, in fact, and they had no intention of going nowhere, to be very honest with you. And that was their thing. I don't blame these people. Like, it's just that I just had this thing that I wanted to go and see how the rest of the world was. I first landed in Southeast Asia before I went to Australia. I eventually got my visa to go to Australia in a place called Australia House on the Strand. I got my little brown suitcases at the time, and I can remember very clearly this actually happened to me. I got a train from Victoria and I was heading towards Heathrow Airport, and there must be about 8 million people in London, and I'm sitting in the carriage, and Noel's, my brother's friend, comes into the carriage and spots me, comes up to me. He was a man of about 23, 24 at the time, and he says, "Where are you going?" Well, I told the lawyer at the time, I said, "Well, I'm actually going home." "That's great," he says, "they'll be looking forward to see you." But he looked at the tag on my bag and he says, and he hit the roof, he says, "You can't, does your family realize you're going to Australia, see?" So I said, I told him no. And he was very insistent in coming to the airport, so much so I jumped off the train. I actually jumped off the train and to give him the slip. And I got to the airport, but you see, I wanted to stop over. I didn't go straight to Australia, I headed down to Singapore.
And was it an expensive... Did you have to save a lot of money at that time?
No, it wasn't actually. It was quite cheap, you see, and it was quite cheap.